Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is J.P. Gervais, the Chief Agricultural Economist with Farm Credit Canada. Thanks for joining us, J.P.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Bruce.
Farm Credit Canada has identified what it describes as the major global economic outlook disruptors that farmers should be monitoring during 2020. First of all, what are disruptors? What are the major disruptors to be paying attention to in 2020? And how are they expected to impact the overall agricultural economic outlooks?
Well, what we've done is actually build on a report by Bloomberg that identified five disruptors, actually. We narrowed the list down to three because what we're doing is actually taking their report and applying it or bringing it down to the level of Canadian farm production as well as food processing. But what they've done is identified five disruptors and look at different countries' readiness to take on these disruptions as well as thrive from an economic standpoint. So Canada, as well as many other countries, and 98% of the world countries are actually ranked in terms of their readiness to face and respond to these disruptions. Canada is doing well, you know, on a number of different fronts when it comes to their readiness to being disrupted from the five disruptors. And we're focusing on three, mostly climate, trade or trade tensions, and automation. We think that these three have the most potential to influence profitability, challenges, and opportunities of Canadian agricultural producers as well as food processors. Climate, I don't think, would be a surprise to be identified as a major disruptor. I mean, we've had, you know, 2019 was a special year, quote unquote, special year in that sense, you know, when it comes to agriculture and coast to coast, really, we've had issues in Canada when it comes to climate. We had, you know, flooding in central Canada. We've had a dry condition in the prairies and a really late harvest and some challenging harvesting conditions as well in the prairies, hurricanes in the Atlantic and so forth. And so it's been a challenging year from 2019. I would argue that it's been three challenging years in some ways for prairie provinces in Canada. So we think that, you know, the point being, you know, when identifying climate as a disruptor, it's not to make those short-term forecasts and try to predict weather patterns. I think this would be a losing proposition. But it's just acknowledging the fact that there's more climate variability out there. And from year to year, this is likely to impact your production differently. And so I think in this case, when it comes to climate, you know, when you're looking at your own production and your own farm, is really to assess what is my risk management plan when it comes to production risk. You know, what kind of protection do I have? Should I be looking at making some different decisions going forward? I think that's the number one thing. There's also the idea that climate is having an impact outside of our borders as well, right? We have some wildfires in Australia that have actually led to some downward revisions to the global wheat supply. We have crops in South America that are fighting some dry conditions right now. So all of these disruptions as well outside of our borders have the potential to impact prices that Canadian operations face throughout the year. So I guess in some ways, you know, climate can impact marketing risk and the marketing plans. Trade would be another one. No surprises there as well. You know, 2019 has been a busy year on the trade front for sure. We've had our own trade tensions with China, India, Italy, and so forth. I mean, none of those are actually resolved or fully resolved just yet. You know, seeing more Canadian exports repulsive to India, despite the taxes at the border. So that's a good thing. We've seen German exports also climbed, despite the country of origin legislation in Italy. And that's because, you know, it's really hard to find high quality durum wheat in the world market. So that's a good thing as well. But I think the one thing that could be different in 2020 from 2019 is the actual trade tensions or evolution of the tensions between China and the U.S. They closed the 2019 with a tentative agreement between the two of them. It looks as if it is going to be ratified early in 2020. And that phase one agreement involves China buying large quantities of U.S. farm products. And if it did indeed it goes through, I would expect that this is going to be quite supportive for North American prices of commodities. And that's also would be a good thing for Canada. Now, on the flip side, with China committing to buy large quantities of U.S. products, this has the potential, just because of the sheer size of China and the U.S. as a supplier as well, this has the potential to disrupt trade flows that historically we've been used to see. So for Canadian exporters and Canadian producers as well, this could actually have an impact as well in terms of sales, in terms of deliveries, and in terms of prices. And finally, I mean, another well-documented trend is the labor shortage that we're facing in Canada, both at the farm level as well as the food processing level. Many countries have had to face these labor shortages. It's not a unique factor here in Canada. But I believe the opportunity is to integrate technology and innovation into our business plans. And we think that 2020, we're going to see more automation on Canadian farms as well as in food processing. We've already started to see some of that to some extent in some sectors, some very specific sectors. I'm not saying that we're in a matter of days or weeks or months to see more automation and more autonomous tractors on Canadian farms. Well, we're going to see automation play more of a role in terms of the technology being more made more available or more easily available to Canadian farms. And I do think that's the easier it is for us, you know, Canadian agriculture to adopt new technology, the easier it will be for us to protect, potentially just leverage some opportunities down in the marketplace. So I think these two disruptions are likely to be at the front of discussions in the marketplace in 2020.
How will stakeholders within the agriculture sector need to respond? How important will that response be and why?
Well, I think the first step is really to assess where you stand from a risk management standpoint. The pace of change has been going up in recent years. And the sad thing, or maybe the exciting thing, depending on your perspective, is that this pace of change is not likely to slow down. So I think it's a good time, if you haven't done so, to reassess what risk management plan do you have. And what I mean by assessing is really to understand the risk exposure you have. I mean, we're agriculture and food, we're in the business of taking risks. I mean, you have to be optimistic about the future, but you're in the business of taking risks. And so do you have a really good understanding of the risk exposure you have on your farm? And so that means mostly to deal with, you know, production, financial and marketing risk. And then once you start assessing where you are, what kind of risk exposure you are, you determine whether or not, you know, you're comfortable with that level of risk. And if you're not, you know, what are the risk mitigation strategies that you can put in place to lower your risk? Now, obviously, you know, sometimes, you know, this will have a cost, and not sometimes, most of the time, this will have a cost attached to it when it comes to mitigating risk. But that's a trade-off between profitability and risk. And so I think that's the one thing that businesses can do in 2020 early on, is to really assess where they are, what kind of risk exposure do they have in the marketplace, given all these disruptions, and really assess if they're comfortable with that level of risk. And if they are, I think no need to change any of the plans that you have. Or maybe though, if you find out that you have a little bit more exposure to risk than you initially thought, then maybe, you know, that is going to lead businesses to have some to implement some different decisions on the farms. And that same kind of argument as well in the food processing sector. So I think that's the number one thing when it comes to businesses looking to respond to these disruptions. I think it's mostly, I believe, I would argue on the risk management side. Because I do think that the long-term or the 2020 outlook for ag remains positive. I mean, the number one thing, the most positive term, is that strength of the demand for Canadian ag commodities and food remains strong. So that demand is really strong, and so it's just for us to be able to face the little bit of volatility that we can expect from the marketplace, as well as leverage some of the opportunities.
Looking specifically at weather and climate change, what are the potential pros and cons, and how will stakeholders need to prepare to address the challenges while capitalizing on the opportunities?
Well, climate has a number of different implications for Canadian farms. You know, in the way, you know, can actually have a longer growing season, so that can lead producers to consider different crops. We've seen some of the crops in the prairies gaining some acreage, whereas we've seen other crops actually seeing their acres go down. And so I do think that producers are making the adjustments in terms of what they can grow based on weather. I think short term, and that's more of a long term, where you can incrementally consider new crops. Whereas in short term, I really do think that this is all about risk management and making sure that you have the right protection in place. But there's no doubt that there'll be opportunities and risk depending on, you know, crops, live versus livestock and so forth. You know, weather can change a little bit of the outlook for the different production sectors that we have in Canadian ag, and I do expect producers to react and mitigate some of the impacts that climate can bring.
On the global trade front, what has been and is changing? How is Canadian agriculture being impacted overall, and what is the effect there?
Well, the effect of trade tensions is significant. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, we export more than 50% of our primary production in one way or the other, whether we export it in raw form or whether we export it under processed food products. And so export markets are a big deal. So a couple of things there. I do think that the tensions are still ongoing when it comes to Canada and some of the bigger partners that we have, like China and India. So that's one thing to monitor, whether this is going to get resolved in 2020. And if it does, I think it opens up possibilities for Canadian farms. Second is, you know, the tensions that involve other countries, you know, most specifically China and the U.S., just these two being so significant in terms of their market share, both as a producer in the U.S. case and as a buyer in the China case. Both of them have a lot of potential impact in the marketplace, and they do resolve some of the differences. I would expect North American prices of commodities to go up. And there's a third one that I would argue is the impact of all disruptions that we're talking about on the overall economic outlook of the different partners that Canada has as a that buys Canadian ag and food commodities. And so not all countries are able to react to the disruptions, so are more exposed to trade disruptions than others. Canada is certainly exposed, and the Canadian farm sector is certainly exposed to trade disruptions more so than the global average, I would argue, just because of, as I said, that we export more than 50% of our production. But I think it's one thing to consider as well is the overall outlook for the different buyers of Canadian ag commodities and food. And in that case, I think the outlook remains fairly positive on average. All the chatter in 2019 about a global economic slowdown, we've seen it to some extent, but the outlook for 2020 appear reassuring in that sense, that we're going to continue to see the world economy grow, and that's good for growth in food demand, and that's good for growth in Canadian exports.
In terms of new technology, how do the Canadian agriculture and agri-food sectors compare with those of the rest of the world in terms of adoption, and how important will that positioning be moving forward?
Well, I think it's absolutely critical that we are making every effort to adopt as fast as we can in a way that makes us still competitive, right? So if you're looking at, I mean, I've traveled a lot across the country, meet a lot of different producers, meet a lot of different food processors, and the number one issue coast to coast has been labor challenges. And we are short on labor, short on qualified labor. And when we have labor, this creates, in some cases, some competitive pressures because wages have been growing up really fast in Canada, to, in some cases, more than 4% on an annual basis. And so this creates some competitive pressures. And I really do think that implementing, integrating technology, especially automation in this case, is going to be critical. The pace at which we're able to integrate and adopt new technology is going to be, I believe, critical for the success long-term of the industry, because these labor shortages and labor challenges are not going away, unfortunately. It's going to take time before we resolve any of that. And so technology is going to be the one factor, critical factor, that will be able to mitigate some of the impacts behind labor shortages. And the one good thing is that we're not the only ones facing these shortages. I mean, in terms of the countries being able to react and adjust to the disruption, I think we're scoring pretty high. It's just a matter of making sure that for the ag and food sector, that we'll have every conditions possible to make sure that adoption of new technology is facilitated.
And is there anything you would like to add?
No, I do believe that 2020 is going to be a an interesting year, to say the least. I mean, there's going to expect more volatility in the marketplace or continued volatility, you know, from 2019. But I think the one thing that remains positive is the strength in the demand for Canadian ag commodities and food. I think I really see this as continuing to support farm income. I think it is for producers to have a good risk management plan as well as controlling expenses. And I do think that 2020 could be a good year.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it, Bruce.
Our guest has been J.P. Gervais, the Chief Agricultural Economist with Farm Credit Canada. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.